This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
So tomorrow, if there is a game, I didn't realize this, but there's a chance the Mets game get moved. So as of right now, it was supposed to be 8:38 first pitch in Milwaukee if necessary. Mm-hmm. But that will only happen if all four series are in a game three, mm-hmm. right? So let's say that that's not likely. Okay, well, what if there is, I believe it's three games, it would be 7:08. So if there are four games, all four game threes tomorrow, the Mets will be starting at 8:38. If there are three game threes tomorrow, the Mets will be starting at 7:08.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
If there are,
this to me is the most likely occurrence here.
That there's going
to
be two?
Yeah.
Okay, and if it is two, that's going to be the 4:08 start?
Uh-huh. And if there's one, it's 3:08.
Now, wait, but that doesn't make, I don't understand why they would do that. Just in real time as we talk this through here. Because wouldn't you think if there's one game, let's see, if the Detroit series ends, just trying to read this thing. If the Detroit and New England and Kansas City, any two game scenarios, the Mets move to 3:08, which that just doesn't make sense to me.
For any two game scenario,
oh, if it's a two game scenario,
it's 7:08. For a two game, it's 7:08.
No,
the Mets and the
hold on, we're screwing this up here.
No, for any two game scenario on Thursday, October 3rd, the Mets in Milwaukee moves to 7:08 rather than 8:30.
I'm sorry. So we got that. If it is one game, now this makes a little more sense.
Uh-huh.
If it's all four, it's 8:38. If it's one game, it's 7:08. That's what makes sense. If it's only one game. If the Mets and Brewers are the only team going to a game three, they'll play at 7:08.
Correct.
Okay. Then read what you said there, that second part.
And then if there's any two-game scenario, the Mets will play at 7:08 rather than 8:30. And if there's a three-game scenario, then the Mets and the Brewers will play also at 7:08 instead of 8:30. So there's a couple of scenarios
here
for 7:08. It's very complicated. But
should have read this more clearly. Bogus told us about it. He said, well, bottom line is,
he made it seem simple.
Yeah, bottom line is there are four different potential start times for tomorrow. Let me try to read this again. All four series, if they remain, the Mets' first pitch is 8:38. So we got that out of the way.
Check.
For any three-game scenarios, meaning three of the series, for any three-game scenarios, right, not game
meaning
three.
Meaning one's over and one.
So, like, if Detroit series is over, for example, the Mets would play at 4:08. Oh, it matters, BT. Here's why it's confusing, because it does matter who's left.
Correct.
Okay, so I'm just going to read you the exact email that we have. So for any three-game scenarios, if the Detroit-Houston series is over, the Mets-Brewers moves to 4:08. If the Kansas City and Baltimore series is over, The Mets Brewers are also 4-0-8. If the Padres Braves series is over, the Mets series moves to 7-0-8.
And for that to happen, San Diego's got to win, now, and then the Mets play at 7-0-8.
Now, those are the three-game scenarios.
Correct.
For the two-game scenarios, if Detroit and Houston and the Kansas City series are over, that's when you get the Mets at 3-0-8.
Correct.
And if the Detroit and Astros and Padres and Braves series is over, then you get the Mets back at 7-0-8.
Boy, that's a lot.
It seems like
just win.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. But here's what I'm rooting for. I want to see Evan Roberts squirm.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I don't know why I love it. I mean, I love Evan, and we're both Met fans, and we're texting last night, excited about it, potentially talking about going to Philadelphia, but under either the circumstance where the Mets play at 3-0-8 or 4-0-8, he's going to be squirming. Maybe do another watch party. Like, that's the whole idea of the watch party the other day, because Evan needed to watch the game.
Did you hear how excited he was over his new scorebook?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
He's got a new scorebook?
I guess, Hoff, do you know about, like, the new playoff scorebook? I don't know.
You don't know about it, Hoff? You're with Evan all the time with the Rico.
Talking about, like, it's a new Maserati.
A new scorebook? What is this?
He was so excited.
I happened to miss that. I was too busy distracted last night on Rico. So
what time do you want the Mets to play tomorrow if you had your choice?
Later.
Yeah.
The later game.
Yeah.
Like 8:38 or 7:08?
8:30. At that point, I don't think it would matter as much. For my purpose, even if it was at 4 or 3, I mean, it really doesn't impact me, but I want Met fans to be able to enjoy it. And I think the majority of Met fans would be, you know, better served at night. Yeah. It could be a nice night game.
It would impact me because of my SNY obligations. So I'm pretty sure 3:08 or 4:08 means I would come on after the post game, as opposed to 7:08. We'd be on an hour and a half before the game. So I'm rooting for, personally, I'd root for 7:08.
Okay.
I think that's a nice sweet spot. Good start time. It's not too late, not too early. But a part of me does want to see what they would do, what Evan would do with the afternoon show if it starts at 3:08.
Well, they got to do it again. And Manaea tonight, the way he's been pitching outside of last game, last 11 starts, 2.63. Mets are 10-1 in those starts. So you got the right guy taking the baseball tonight. And the Brewers are on their heels a bit. You know, Mets are gelling. And don't push this to game three.
BT and Sal on the fan. Mike is in Massapequa. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
How are you guys?
How are you, Mike?
I'm in the supermarket just now wearing my lucky Elvis Presley shirt, my Mets hat. Three different people said, let's go Mets. It's a great feeling. Sal, owe you a quick apology. You know, last week I was worked up. I'm a longtime 51-year-old Mets fan. I don't know if you remember my call, but I said, I don't want to hear that the Mets have been the best team in baseball over the last 4 months. You got to finish. I know they've been resilient. I think part of the reason that I felt that way was obviously, suffering through a lot of collapses, but also because this Mets team feeds so much on confidence. And I think that's a reason why the offense, if you look at the box scores over the year during that hot stretch, and even into now, this team puts up the big innings, maybe two. They have zeros usually in 6 or 7 innings in every game, yet they still have managed to be the best team over the last 4 months, as you said, with what I argued. And that's because they feed off each other's confidence. And I was afraid they didn't have the confidence to finish it off, and I was wrong about that.
Well, that's
now
one thing.
That's
one thing they do have for sure, Mike, and thank you for the call, is the confidence. You could argue whether they have enough in the rotation, whether they have enough in the lineup or enough in the bullpen. That's TBD, but the confidence, BT, is not an issue.
No, and they're a hardened baseball team because they've been pulling themselves out of the depths of baseball death, really since they started 22-33. So they've had to, much like the Nationals a couple of years ago, were they 19-31? And they won the World Series. Not saying the Mets definitely win, but when you're that low early and you do regenerate, you're hardened and you're conditioned to kind of deal with whatever because you took such a knockout, almost a knockout shot early that I just think you become almost calloused.
Right.
And I don't think the Mets flinch much. Like I can't prove this, and again, the Yankees are a couple of days away. I feel like if the Yankees get behind in a series, it's going to be heavy. The pressure, Boone, Soto, Judge, all the things we hit.
Yeah.
The Mets have dealt with this really from the first day of the season, going back to the spring with Senga's injury and some other stuff, too.
When you dig out of the hole that they dug out of, and when you do it dealing with all the adversity, we always talk about this in every aspect of sports and in life. You learn something about somebody or a team when they deal with adversity, how they're going to come out the other side of it. It's why I think so many teams get these draft picks wrong, because a lot of these kids don't deal with adversity until they get to the NFL, and by then it's too late. They're hit with the adversity, and it's, oh my God, what do I do? I don't know what to do because I've been spoon-fed my whole life, or because I've had success every step of the way at college or high school being a star quarterback. That's a part of it. This Mets team has handled adversity and been resilient every step of the way. So when it happens again, and it will, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's next round, you expect them to respond because they've been there before and dealt with it.
Yeah. I see a lot of people say adversity builds character. I've never really subscribed to that because, you know, you could get dealt adversity and you could crack. I think it, you know, to me, the better expression is it reveals it. And we found out right away the Mets have a lot of character. I think the Mets have more character than talent.
Right.
Even though I do think I've understated their talent most of the season, but their character, I mean, it's flowing by the bushel here.
Yeah. And then it's a question of, okay, well, will that win out? Sometimes maybe having more character with enough talent is enough.
In this sport, more so.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think, you know, character in the NBA is going to take you so far, but you need a couple of stars. We know that. In the NFL, pretty much need that Hall of Fame quarterback. Baseball, you know, character can ride you far.
One last thing on that caller that he said, and I meant to make a note of this, but I did not.
Yeah.
The feeling of, like, wearing a Mets shirt to the grocery store or whatever and people going nuts.
Feel good?
That's happening.
Feel good, right?
Well, it's just weird. Like, I wear Mets stuff quite a bit. Now, obviously, I made a point to wear it the last few days here, but on Monday, oh, hey, let's go Mets. Like, walking down the street with a Mets shirt, hey, let's go Mets, let's go. That's not a rare, that is not a frequent occurrence. That is rare that happens. So you do get that feel now that people are extra pumped up about the Mets, where people start yelling, hey, go Mets,
yeah,
win a game.
Well, and that's where our city's at its best. That's where that's what makes us. I just want to know, you know, do we need 7, 8, 10 degrees cooler? When do you and Hoff start busting out that white satin Mets jacket you guys?
I thought about that.
That's going to be coming out.
It's going to be next round.
Got to be.
I almost, because we've been hoodie weather so far. Yeah, the problem is, this is being honest with you, the problem is
is it too tight?
No. Okay. I would wear it with a t-shirt. That jacket fits fine.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with where I'm at with a t-shirt right now.
Gotcha.
That's my issue. So I need a little time. But next round, yeah, I am going to break it out because
it is sick.
It's perfect weather. It's a nice looking jacket. We may have to break that out for the divisions.
Come on, Huff. Where's yours?
Charles is in Manhattan. Charles, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Obviously, yesterday, big, massive win for the Mets. And I think something that I think, you know, it probably went as well as it could have, because if you take a look at something Mets fans and the whole Mets organization was talking about, it was Sunday. I mean, you used Maton and Diaz, and then yesterday you obviously used Diaz for a ton of pitches. And the plan was, you know, he wasn't going to be available for today. So I think it was so big, not only the two-out hitting with the runners in scoring position and everything they did, but Severino battling through, getting through six, and then being able to have a lead 4 runs where you don't even have to use those guys because Buddo and Stanek were so dominant. So it just opens up a lot more options. You've got to basically rest the best part of your bullpen, and now you have your ace on the mound after a big win the other day. I think there's just a lot of good things going with this team, and they're just continuing what they've been doing for the last 4 months. It's really unbelievable.
Dude, you're set up to snuff out the Brewers. You're set up. It's it. You got things lined up properly. Go do it.
You couldn't be set up any better. Off of a day where you were set up in, I don't want to say disastrous way, because they did. See, the trickle-down effect here is very important. Not only was there a feel from the Mets fans like, oh, here we go again, especially after that loss to Atlanta, the first game, you know, during last week or whatever, before the rain came. That, to me, was the first time they were in real trouble. Because of the rain, I felt like they got bailed out a little bit, although they might not have been facing Chris Sale anyway, because the guy hasn't pitched. He's not even on their roster. So maybe that was a, you know,
smoke screen.
Exactly, smoke screen. I do think that was a smoke screen by Atlanta. Anyway, the Mets might have been helped by that delay. Get out of there, go to Milwaukee. Then they lose Friday, then they lose Saturday. And people were, oh, here we go again, choking away. For me, it was always going to be about the Atlanta game. But because they won Sunday, It set themselves up to where they only had to win one game on Monday, obviously. And they did so by not then having to burn Severino. Because of the way it played out, they didn't have to use Severino on Sunday. They didn't have to use him on Monday because they won game one, which was of high importance. Getting in would have been great. You saw what happened with the Braves, who got in and game they went by winning game two. Mets won game one, could take it a little bit easy, don't have Lindor play, save Severino.
Yeah.
Then that set them up where, okay, it's not ideal, but at least you have your second best pitcher starting and you need some length out of him because the bullpen was taxed. And look at how it worked out. They only ended up using three pitchers. They get the win, and now deep breath, exhale, you got your ace on the mound, and you have a lot of the best bullpen arms available tonight, specifically Diaz and Maton.
It's gone from dire to ideal. I mean, honestly, it just seemed like, you know, Mets fans were pumped just to get in, but you didn't really know what was going to await. But yeah, that last win against Milwaukee was massive. And at this point, let me ask you, I don't even want to say if they don't win the series, because I don't want to inject negativity here, but like, when you win the first game, I mean, now it totally changes. Like, if they were to falter and not advance, how do you process the season?
Yeah, I think this would be a disappointment. Yesterday, I was like,
be a crusher?
I didn't say house money yesterday, but I felt like they've exceeded expectations. Yes, if they lost this series now,
yeah.
I mean, you heard Howie. He said he expects it to happen.
Yep.
Like, my feeling and my gut is I expect it to happen. Look, yes, so when you expect, those are just the expectations have raised even after one night, then it would be a gut punch. Now, like, to the degree of going nuts, the way that we did in 2022 with the collapse, or the way that it would have been had they gotten swept by the Braves in the doubleheader, no, but it would leave a bad taste, I think, in a lot of Met fans' mouths if they ended up blowing this one now.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, this team's earned more, I don't know if the right word is equity. They've earned a little more rope because they didn't collapse. So when that 2022 team went into the Padres series, the remnants, the anger, it was just following them into the series. Yeah. And then the stadium didn't have a lot of juice and they played poorly against the Padres. So it was just an overflow of negativity. If the Mets, and I'm not saying that they will, but if they were to stumble these next couple of games and get knocked out, not move on, I think you're right. I think it's... Eventually, you get to the appreciation quicker than pounding on this team and just knocking them around. I don't think they deserve that at all.
No, they've earned that this year. John is in Staten Island. What's up, Johnny?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you?
Hey,
good.
Listen, I'm a diehard Mets fan. Here's my thoughts on what's going on, and I would love your opinion. My opinion is that they should start Torrens tonight. I love Alvarez. Don't get me wrong. But the Brewers are obviously under the gun. They're going to run more. And I would like a more accurate pass ball catcher and someone more accurate to second base. Number two, I think it was great that Pete did not swing at all those outside pitches. So I'm hopeful that someday this guy is going to actually get a big hit. And third, if Rick Hoskins is up in a big spot, I am pitching around him. That guy hates the Mets. We hate him. I don't want him to be the cowboy. And the last thing I would say is, really, I am so impressed with Lindor. When he has a bad back and stops to pick up the bat for Iglesias, not to trip over it.
Yeah.
I love this team. They're the Bad News Bears. Let's go Mets!
Bad News
good,
Bears.
John. Attaboy.
Thanks for the call, John.
The point about Alonzo, well, first of all, you don't really see that too often. Usually either the umpires move for the bat or the bat boys. Remember when Dusty Baker's son flew out with JT Snow?
Who's now in the big leagues.
I know. So you got a hit. You got called up. Dusty was in the house, obviously, in person to see that, which was awesome. I don't recall seeing that this year. I mean, maybe it did happen, but, for a runner to do that as he's running, especially with a bad back, to just move the wood is just being very aware of what's going on because he knew somebody was behind him, number one. Number two, I think that the way Alvarez picks the ball, it worries me.
Yeah.
It's a little lazy.
He does it because he could be in better position.
I understand
frame.
with the one leg out.
We
talked about
that
it a million times. I understand that. I know that worries me in a big spot. Upper run, if not only just a man on third base, but man on second, upper run, something in the dirt, less than two out, keep him from third base, so you don't need to hit to score him. Like, he picked a couple yesterday, but that to me, I don't know. Like, It's a deeper conversation. Like, organizationally, I wouldn't teach my catchers how to I wouldn't teach them to catch the ball that way. But would you sit Alvarez tonight? I mean, to his point?
Put it this way. If they did, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
What about DH and him?
It's actually not a bad thought either. Problem is, he isn't hitting, and he's a threat.
I know.
I don't have a problem DH-ing him. I actually think that that's an interesting idea. Now, you're going to then sit Jesse Winker. I'm fine with however the Mets decide. The way they do it is so smart. And it's also, they're not stuck to anything. Like, it's not going to make or break them. They could get around it. Okay, well, you start Winker, but you want to go with a different matchup. You have Alvarez go in there and DH. Although I guess in that case, you can't have your backup catcher DH, because then you potentially can't use him.
That's true.
But I would not be opposed to Torrens. If they decide that having Torrens' defense is more valuable tonight, now remember, too, who does Manaea want to throw to?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing. Yeah, I don't have a big problem with it. I would probably
trust him.
I would go status quo, though, myself. Mm. I would leave Alvarez in and just roll with it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Are you concerned at all about Rodgers being healthy for this coming Sunday?
No. I thought it was initially a hamstring. Apparently, it's more his knee.
You said the knees were swollen, right?
Yeah, I did see that. I think it's just wear and tear. Now, hopping on a flight for 7 hours, probably not the best thing. For swollen joints or whatever. But no, I think he's going to be okay on... Listen, am I worried about this weekend based on the knee? No. Am I worried about the fact that he looked really gimpy and old on Sunday? Yeah, a little bit.
Rodgers was included on today's Jets injury report, but Robert Saleh says he is not concerned. The second part of that, and it ties in, Malik Nabers still in the early stages of concussion protocol.
That's a little bit of a surprise there.
Yeah, what the hell's going on here? The game happened a week ago. So
I know. I don't know. I don't want to be irresponsible. It's just that, you know, that is that. it's very simple, man. You know, you've got to do this, and if you do that, then you're cleared by the NFL independent neurologist, and the concussion protocol is very detailed and very easy to adhere to.
Why would it be early stages though? A week later. I mean, I legit am asking the question. I don't know.
Maybe it means he's not even past the most basic baseline. Like, I'm sure there's several different layers or hurdles to it. The way that's worded, maybe it seems...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you, and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
even the early stage isn't complete.
Let me see if I can read this. Let's see. Neighbors suffered. This is from SNY.TV. I'm getting this off their site.
Yep.
He's still in the early stages of concussion protocol. That's it. That's the only real quote that...
Did that come out this morning? Today or yesterday?
I saw it today on social media just a little while ago. Here are the latest. So this is the latest Giants injury updates as they prepare for week 5. Neighbors is in concussion protocol. Suffered the concussion during the fourth quarter last Thursday. Seemed to be in somewhat decent spot to return for week 5 given the long layoff. However, Neighbors is still in the, quote, early stages of concussion protocol, according to head coach Brian Daboll.
Not optimal.
And I'll tell you this. We do these picks every week and we go over the games. And I do think a lot of times injuries or players that are missing are made too big a deal of. This is one, and certain ones mean a lot. Like to me last week, I was going to pick the Chargers, but I didn't because of the offensive line being banged up, even more so than Herbert. That's just certain things about certain games and certain matchups. The Giants without Malik Neighbors, how could you give them a chance to beat Seattle without Malik Neighbors?
Well, they're tough to even watch without Neighbors, let alone bet them.
See, you saw Seattle Monday night. Now, I know that they didn't have any defense as Detroit beat them, but. For the Giants, now, the way you do it is run the football, control the clock, short passes, move the chains, ball control offense, sure, which they could do, but without Neighbors?
I mean, that sounds cute until it's 3rd and 8 and nobody's open. I mean, and by the way, you know, hey, I know we'll do this more on Friday, but nice early showing so far for the perfect parlay.
We've been pretty good. You hit week 3.
Yes.
And then Hoff and I both hit. Now, they've been 2-team parlays, but hey, that's part of it. Yeah. Want to get on the board.
Everybody's
been
on
a nice
board.
Little back and forth. Last year was a slog.
And then he just threw a Hail Mary and hit a five spot and got lucky.
Yeah. And then we had to dress up like Doink and Goldust.
Yes.
Hoff hit the Hail Mary. And look, he won rightfully so.
He's a champ.
But then last week, you hit and started to pull away, and then we punched back now. So now we're in. We're
okay.
In again. Strategy will be evoked pretty soon. But yes, we've been pretty good so far. We'll look forward to doing that on Friday ahead of week 5 tomorrow. I got to be honest with you. Falcons play the Bucks tomorrow night. Pfft, who cares? It's baseball season. Now, if the Mets don't play, maybe a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But even with the football on Sunday, it does help that the Jets are at 9:30.
Oh, my God. It's massive.
Because if it's going against the baseball's winning out for me.
Just get up early and check that off the list and then move into the next sequence of sports. Like, if you had to do a Jets... Yankees, Mets, and listen, if you're a Giants fan, you get to do it, and we're going to do it for our job, although the pecking order Giants would have to be last at this point. That's tough.
Well, tough. I mean, you can if the Mets win one of these next 2 nights, you're going to have Saturday, Mets and Yanks, and then Sunday, Jets, Mets,
and Giants.
Yeah. That's an exciting weekend, but that is loaded up. Aaron is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? Love your show.
Thank you. What's up?
Hey, I'm very excited. I just told my son if the Mets clinch tonight, we are going to Philadelphia. We're gonna get nosebleeds. We're gonna drive over there. It's a short drive. Let's go Mets. Now my question for you guys are: if you gave the Philadelphia Phillies truth serum, who do you think they'd rather face, us or the Brewers?
The fans or the players?
The team, probably.
I think they'd probably say the Mets. I think the Phillies would rather play the Mets.
Wow.
I think so.
I don't know.
No?
I mean, I think the Mets are the more dangerous team. So from their perspective,
travel's easier.
I can't speak for Philly. I would think from their perspective, they'd rather see the Brewers. I don't think anybody would want. Now, again, maybe this is just me, but I wouldn't think anybody would want any part of the Mets. Hoff, can you look up, because I've heard this now from a couple people. You know, the Mets win last night, and everybody's thinking, all right, and myself included, potential series in Philadelphia. You heard Howie say it before. The Mets have never played the Phillies in a postseason series. It's, you know, a couple hours away. And then ticket prices, I've heard, have been absurd. Do you have ticket prices for what it would be for Game 1 to get in the building?
Yeah, I have. It's $198.
And where is that? Like the worst seat?
Section 534, from what I see.
$200 basically to get in.
Yeah, and then the other thing is if you're sitting up that high, I mean, rolling the dice with whether or not you're getting out there without a fight. I mean, if you're sitting up that high in Philly.
I'm not ready to do that at this point in my life.
There's a certain age where that's got to evaporate. Yeah, no,
let's
for sure.
Go, bro. Not that I'm looking for a fight, but I wouldn't certainly be, never physical, but I wouldn't be afraid to go.
No,
now,
for sure.
I don't even want to
this would
the
probably
nonsense.
Dissuade you, right? I mean, it's going to be nuts up there.
Oh, I'm not. I wouldn't go if I couldn't sit in, like, somewhat.
Uh-huh. I hear you.
Decent.
I hear
someone's going to have the best seat in the house.
It's so sad that that's part of the calculation. Listen, there was always, you know, drunks and... you know, classless people in all different cities and different venues. But and maybe it just seems amplified because you go on social media, you see the video. But some of these fights at football stadiums.
Disgusting.
Where you I mean, you're getting head stomped on concrete, dude. People are a step away from death.
You saw the one with the
Cardinals?
Was it the Cardinals? The Rams game.
I saw that one, too. Yeah, I did see that.
There's been so many of them.
That's bad.
You got women and getting punched by guys.
That's horrible.
What the hell's going on
here? When the women jump in, they make it worse for the men. It's just, it's dangerous.
And people are just, you're right, drunk out of their mind because no sane individual.
No, rationale is not going to win over at that point. There's no way.
I don't know how the NFL could continue operating like this. Like, I get that, all right. Well, it's not just one video. And by the way, even if it was one video, it shouldn't be acceptable.
No.
Because it does alter. Like, you're going to take your son, you're going to take your kids to go see the Jets when you know that things could get out of hand like that.
I think we're going to the game. I think it's December 1.
Who's that against?
That is the Seattle game, ironically. Okay. Giants opponent this week. Yeah. I think that. I mean, I'd like to think, although, you know, alcohol blurs and distorts reality, I'd like to think if even if a nutball, you know, sees you walking in the concourse holding your 9-year-old son's hand, that they're probably going to stay away from you. But once things start happening and people are drunk, it doesn't matter.
It happens. The point is, to me, it is a deterrent.
Yep.
And as somebody who went to the two football games, I went to the Jets Thursday night, then the Giants last Thursday night. I wasn't involved in it, certainly, and I didn't really see much of it where I was sitting, but you do sense it around, and it's a reminder of, yeah, you know what, this just isn't for me at this particular
point. I never felt so, I mean, maybe unsafe is a bit of a stretch, but I remember how I felt last year walking into the Jets-Raiders game.
How was that?
Not very comfortable.
That's Vegas Raiders, not Oakland Raiders.
I know, and I was there for that as right. Well. That was worse. I think I told you one of those stories off the air. It's just very aggressive, and it's I get it. You want to have fun, and you kind of. But I don't get it. I don't get that stuff. But it really deterrent's the perfect word when you're not sure if you're getting back in your car in one piece. Well, why are you going?
Correct. And with the emotion, the passion, the alcohol, the anger that sports fans have, whether it's from losing money because you're betting on games or just your team in general.
Yeah, and people, I don't know what percentage this applies to, but, busting out the phone is actually not a deterrent. It's actually something that people want to do. They want to put the phone on and say, hey, look at me, doing this.
Yeah.
And that almost, that propels violence in its own way.
Craving the attention, dude. Yeah, it's bad.
It's really disgraceful.
I know.
And Goodell doesn't care. He doesn't care. If Roger Goodell cared, this would have, now.
You think he sees any of it in the owner's box as he's going to these games?
He don't care. He's walking into his, you're right, he's going into his owner's box, right? He's walking out, with armed security, going into his, his tinted window car. He's safe from every, five layers removed from everything. If Goodell cared, then this would be addressed. Instead, it's getting worse every week.
Yeah.
Really? Think about that.
And you're right. Like, I'm thinking, hey, this weekend could be great. Go down to Philly, check out the Met. The Philly fans, rightfully so, are going to be out of their minds, passionate, nuts, ramped up. Everybody's going to be drinking. There's it's inevitable.
You know there's going to be problems.
Oh, like, you're walking in there knowing the hatred between the two cities and the two fan bases.
Yep.
There are going to be problems. You just hope that they're not like the field level where you'd hope to be sitting. But then again, Hoff is saying actually he had to correct himself. Standing room only, $220, right?
Yeah, Hoff? Yeah. I was actually looking at Citi Field, unfortunately, before. So I corrected it. But yeah, standing room only, $220. Then there's seats that are like, $416 for $250 each. You want to get good sections, it's like $1,000.
You want to get good what?
Sections.
Oh, I thought I heard you say you want to get good sex in.
No, that's going to be a little more than $198 a pop.
Yeah.
It depends. Depends where you are.
Well, yeah, I know that's not happening to my house this weekend, so I might as well go to Philadelphia.
Well, the aside from the safety issue, so I tell you the truth, though, like a standing room only ticket, I don't know, that's almost more appealing to me.
Interesting.
Than sitting at the highest, I don't know.
It's
not a terrible spot. Can I tell you something? You got a little room.
Can I tell you something? When we went to that game at Citi Field, most of those people had tickets upstairs, and they just walked around anyway.
Yeah.
People just do that anyway. So it's like it's cooler. That's just kind of how what you do at these games anyway.
I don't mind it. I mean, we hung out there. I felt bad. We didn't do it on purpose. We left Sal at the seats probably a good 40 minutes.
I'm like, where the hell are you guys? I'm watching a bowl game here, booing Pete Alonso.
We had to get another drink. And like there's TVs everywhere and you know, there's room to spread out. And like I can't stand because I got long legs.
Right.
I can't stand being God. Like on an airplane, postseason, or a train, I hate it.
Now the good thing about most of these new ballparks is you can see from walking around wherever you may be.
Correct.
Which I get, but postseason, like, I don't want
to. Postseason's a little different.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I want to be dug in there.
You want to be dug into the game.
Yeah.
Which then brings you back to, is it better being on the couch? I mean, not if you get free tickets from us, which we're giving away for the Yankees. You want to be a part of it. New York sports, be a part of the run, go out there, whether it's Citi Field or Yankee
Stadium. No doubt. But how much baseball do you actually miss if you go to the bathroom two or three? Like, I mean, you go to the bathroom twice. If you're there for 4.5 hours, right? I mean, say if you go twice, if you have five beers. Depends when you go. 40,000 people?
Yeah.
It's not in and out.
Now that is true.
You know?
There are deterrents all over the place. But the joy you experience when your team does win and you get 40,000 plus.
Yeah.
BT and Sal on the... So are we going Saturday?
Call of the day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
This call of the day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Jeff is in Manhattan. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's up, guys? Two things. Listen, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. The Mets are real, man. I fear the Mets more than any team in the National League. The Mets are real. They have to fight them. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I definitely wouldn't use the word fear. I think that's nuts. But are they real? Yeah. I mean, everybody that's playing right now is real. So.
Oh, the Braves aren't. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's one game.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. I hear you.
They look like a beaten team.
They might be. Ran out of gas, all the injuries.
And something else. Listen, guys. If the Mets keep on playing like this in the total sweepstakes, they might not have to outbid the Yankees by much, man.
It always goes back to Soto, huh?
Yeah.
It's amazing how that happens.
I mean, come on.
There's a time for that, and that time is going to be intense. But
it's not yet.
Not yet. That is for sure. BT and Sal. Hey, by the way, let's get back to these calls. Obviously, Met fans fired up. 888-808-1019. But also, we're giving away tickets. Let you guys know about this on Thursday and Friday to both Games 1 and Games 2. Game 2 of the ALDS at the stadium. Listen to Boomer and Geo. Listen to me and Sal. Evan and Tiki for a shot to win your way in. Again, listen Thursday and Friday. So tomorrow and Friday, and that's your chance to win tickets to Games 1 and 2 ALDS in the Bronx for the Yanks.
You know what? I have one problem with last night. Well, it's a big problem in the postseason, broadcast. Like, we talked about this going in. I hate the fact that we got to watch our teams now. Yankee fans, I'm sure, are going to miss Michael Kay and David Cone or Paul O'Neill. And Met fans sorely miss Gary Cohen, Keith, and, you know, Gary, Keith, and Ron. The one thing that drove me nuts last night, it was just on full display that the National, and Boog, I like. Like, I would have picked him of all the National options. He would be my first choice. Glanville was a little...
Glanville, he sounded like something was wrong with his voice.
He's flat.
He didn't sound good.
Bro, it's the postseason.
He's pretty boring, Glanville.
Maybe he's sick, I don't know, but he was
pretty boring.
But it was, we know that they don't know as much as we do to begin with. And then they're pontificating about Sal Frelick, who's in the lineup.
Yeah.
But did you see, like, they were showing, when they were talking about him getting hurt, like, do some research. You're doing the series Mets and Brewers. They just played over the weekend. He got hurt on a specific play down the right field line in the right field corner.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that they now patched that up.
Yep.
So when they were showing, they're like, oh, he ran into the wall and hit the fence hard. And they're showing the outfield fence, which wasn't where he got hit. They didn't even show a replay of it. Show a replay and then say... Matter of fact, they covered it up, and that window was no longer there. Like, that was a part of the story that if this game were on SNY, that was a huge thing. No, but, like, that would have continued the story. He got hurt. Here's what happened. It looked nasty. The guy couldn't even walk afterward. He's grabbing his hip or his rear end. It was a corner of the ballpark where they're talking about it shouldn't have been there in the first place, and then they immediately covered it up with a postseason sign. ESPN had no clue.
I know. Does that generally, aside from that, which was, I mean, that's sloppy.
Yeah.
I wish that we could get the continuation of the voices that we watch all year. That's obvious. But there's something to be said, provided it's a decent voice. It seems like an elevated stage. Like when you pop in.
The national stage. Yeah, I know what you mean.
All right, it's October. It's different.
That one didn't, and maybe the early rounds don't. But yes, from that standpoint, I do understand what you're saying. I'd still, and it's just because we got used to it, I'd still prefer to have the home broadcast option.
Oh, my God, yeah. Like, for sure.
You know, the Knicks is a good example of that because we had the option to watch MSG broadcast or the national broadcast.
Yes.
And there is something about a national broadcast that feels bigger.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like with baseball, which is such a regional sport and a connection for 162 games or close to that, I think you lose a little bit, especially in the early rounds.
Well, I think I told you this. You can think I'm nuts if I didn't already tell you. Like, when the Yankees and the Mets play in the Subway Series, I watch SNY. I want to hear the Mets talk about the Yankees.
Interesting.
In a different way, because I mean, I know what Kay's going to say, and I know O'Neill and Coney and all those guys. To me, getting the different perspective is interesting.
Right. I don't know if I don't like that.
Not many people do that.
I don't mind you're right, a different perspective can be interesting. But when going in, you're basically saying, all right, let's see how well they know our team, whatever team it is that you root for. And then when they miss something, which, by the way, wasn't even a Mets story.
I know.
It was a Brewers thing.
It just happened.
The fact that this guy's actually in the lineup.
I know.
He looked like he couldn't walk.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't show a replay of it and say, this is where it happened. Oh, and by the way, they immediately patched it up the next day or whatever it was. Cover that up. I thought they missed the mark on that. Now, is it the biggest deal in the world? No. But again, it just shows you that the national broadcast don't know the team the way that we know the team. All right, let's finish up on the phones, BT.
Yep.
Frank is in Roseland, New Jersey. What's up, Frankie?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Hey, Frank. What's happening?
So, I just wanted to comment on the broadcast. It's actually pretty horrible for me in the ESPN perspective. It's negligent how little they know, and it kind of just shows. And for this, you guys were talking about standing room before.
Yeah.
The standing room experience is amazing. We got a group of about 15 of us, and I'm a big Yankee fan, back in 2017, and we went to, and the tickets were maybe $100. We had a big group of us. We went to the Frank's Red Hot deck, and we basically took up one of the whole row of the two rows, and it's amazing. You're standing the whole time anyway, and we were at the 2017 wild card game with Didi Gregorius and Severino, and Didi hit the grand slam in the first, and the place was bananas. And then we were at the 2017 game five against the Astros with the crazy comeback. It was an awesome experience. I don't know if all the stadiums do that, and I don't really have a comment on, you know, what it's like at the other stadiums, but at Yankee Stadium, that value, it's amazing. It's an amazing experience, and it kind of goes unnoticed. A lot of people don't realize how awesome it is.
Yeah, because I don't think a lot of people really find that very appealing to stand, you know, for 3 hours. But to me, it's just like you're in a bar watching a game in a lot of ways.
Right, but the game is right in front of you at the stadium. Yeah, you're opening my mind to it, at least. It's still not my preference. I'd rather sit in my seat that I pay for at the ballpark and watch the game as opposed to be in that crowd. But yeah, like if you're looking, I think ideally like a younger me that wants to, you know, drink some beer and party a little bit. You're at the bar, but you're there with a 100 Yankee fans or whatever it may be, 1,000 Yankee fans or Met fans, whatever stadium you're at. I can see how that might be appealing to get in.
What do you do if, and this happened to me at the Titans game, Jets-Titans a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, there were people in front of me who were early in the game, standing. And I'm like, well, if they're standing, I'm standing.
Yeah.
That's too bad because I got to see now. And then I felt a little bit bad for the people behind me. But then since I'm standing, they have to stand. And it's just a domino. Yep, everybody starts standing. And I go, at what point do you incorporate the needs
sit down
and the wants of the people behind you rather than what you want?
I think it's a tough spot. It's a great question. My general rule is football's a little different because every play could be big, even if it's early on. And I experienced this a little bit on Thursday Night Football with the Cowboys and Giants. If the people in front of me are standing up, I've got to stand up.
Got to stand.
It's not my fault. It's their fault. So you got to just follow suit. But if it were a baseball game and there's no reason to be standing at that particular point or whatever, in general, I'd be like, hey, take a seat. You pay good money for that seat, use it. Like, that's a popular, you know. Yeah, right. You're not gonna get into a fight because you never know how the person's gonna take it.
That goes back to what we said before.
Yeah.
Now, most people at that point, if you say, listen, it's really about saying it the right way. Hey, let's go, man.
Some people don't know. that they should be sitting. Yeah, I mean, this is it, PT. There's a chance.
The journey. The journey continues. You feel good?
You know what could happen tonight? I do feel good.
You should.
A real champagne celebration.
Oh, here you go.
That was subdued a little bit because they knew it was looming. Tonight, if the Mets punch their ticket to the DS, let loose. Go wild, boys. I'm looking forward to it.
Good luck. Enjoy the game, man. Let's go,
Mets. Thank you. Looking forward to being back tomorrow. Talking about it with either way. We'll be back discussing that. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dope. Thanks to Hoff. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.